Good morning. If I fall asleep in the middle of service like some of y'all, that's okay. I was chaperoning prom last night. And we got finished at 12:30, and then I had to get up at 2:15 to make sure Pollock got home, because they went to Lubbock afterwards. And then got up at 6:30 so I could drive over here. So I'm pretty tired. I remember about a third of the trip. So, and also, if you see me wearing my mask more than normal, it's because I was around 40-something kids last night, and I have no idea what we may have been around last night, because it was not 6 feet apart. So, but we're going to look at the Gospel of Matthew today. We've been looking at considering our mission, several different topics. Under what is our mission as the church, as believers in Christ? And as we look at this passage in Matthew chapter 5, this comes right after the Beatitudes. And if you've been able to join us on Wednesday nights, the video Bible study that we've been going through is looking at some of the Beatitudes and how they impact our lives and our testimonies. This passage comes right after that. It's about being light, and it reminds me of being a freshman in college. I was a freshman in college, and my sister is 16 months younger than I am, so she was a senior in high school, and she was captain of her drill team. And so one of the football game Friday nights, I decided to go from my college dorm to a nearby community where there was going to be a football game that my sister's high school would be at, and I was going to go see my sister. And I got on the road, and I got well down the road, and all of a sudden it started dawning on me that I'd been to that stadium a couple of times in high school, but I'd always been on a bus, and I really hadn't paid attention to where the high school was or where the stadium was. And so I was trying to figure out, what am I going to do? Because I went to college, and I grew up in southeast Texas in the big thicket, tall pine trees. And so it's not like you can just look out and say about 10 miles away, okay, there's where the stadium is. And so I'm driving around trying to figure out what to do. And all of a sudden, I noticed as I'm getting near the town that there was one area above the trees that looked a lot brighter than everywhere else. And so I said, well, I'm going to head that direction. And eventually it got me to the game. The light wasn't what I was looking for, but the light helped me to get to what I was looking for, which was my sister. And in the same way, we're told that we're to be lights, we're to shine our faith through word and deed so that we can help others to glorify God, that they can come to know Jesus. And so the title for the sermon today is Being a Full Moon to a Dark World. I want to read the text, Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. It says, "For I am the light of the world." I'm sorry, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." So, as we look at this passage today, the first thing that we see is that Jesus tells us, "You are the light." He tells us we're light. And you know, when you think about light, what is that? Light's very important all through the Bible. The very first thing God creates is light. And when light is talked about, it's always talked about like being God's true knowledge. It's talked about as being goodness, righteousness, truth, joy. There are different ways all through the scripture that it talks about light. But light, is important because it shines out. And it gives purpose. It helps us to see in the dark. If we turned all the lights off in here, it would be a little different, especially to read your Bible, maybe. Light is very important to us. It helps us to see and to perceive things. Here we're told that we are the light of the world, and that seems strange because in John's Gospel, we hear Jesus say that Jesus is the light of the world. But here we're told that we are the light of the world. That phrase, light of the world, was used in the Jewish community at the time to talk about the Torah, the law. They would call it the light of the world. They would call the community, Israel, the light of the world, because they were the ones that had the Torah and were supposed to teach it to others. They would refer to Jerusalem as the light of the world because that's where the temple was. But here Jesus is saying, you are the light of the world. He was saying that at the time to his disciples, to men that were fishermen, tax collectors, revolutionaries, the poor, those that a lot of the religious leaders called sinners. But he was telling them they were the light of the world. They were Israel. They were going to have the Torah in their heart because of the Spirit that would be given to them. They were the New Jerusalem, because we've talked about before that together we become the temple. And so he's saying to them, you are the light of the world. But because Jesus is the light and we're lights, it's sort of like that subtitle says, you are the moon reflecting the sun. We don't have our own light. We only have light that comes from Christ. Christ is the true light. And just like the moon doesn't have light on its own, but it simply reflects the sun, so we are to reflect the love of Jesus. We are to let His light shine through us. So when you go out on a full moon night and you see the moon, it's because the sun is shining on it. And that little diagram there shows you that you have a full moon when the moon is facing the sun, but it's on the other side of the earth, so that all that light is coming back toward the night. So when we receive from Jesus knowledge or goodness or righteousness or truth or joy or love or any of the things in the scriptures that light is described as being, when we receive anything from Jesus, we're to let that flow into us, but then flow out of us to others. That we can be a light, that we can shine upon this dark earth. So we need to be the light to those trapped in darkness, providing guidance through the night as they, we hope, turn toward the true light. Just as in the night, the moon provides light, but only so long as until the earth rotates so that the sun comes out to bring true light. The second thing in this passage is that it says you cannot hide the light. It talks about a town on a hill and that you can't hide a town if it's sitting up on a hill. It's talking about the impossibility of hiding the light. By day, the town would, you would see the white of the buildings. By night, you would see the candles or the lamps in the windows. It'd be very difficult to hide a town set on a hill. Lucy and I, when I first started teaching for Wayland, we lived in Hawaii. And we could be on one side of the island and you could look over on during the day and you could see towns because they were gleaming in the sunlight. And at night, you would see them rising up on the mountains because all those lights going up. The only way you could hide a city would be to destroy it. So it's impossible to hide a city if it's on a hill. And in, Jesus talks about you also wouldn't light a lamp and then put it under a bowl. He's talking about that would be irresponsible. That's treating the light irresponsibly. There would be no purpose to light the lamp and then put it in a bowl. We're not lit for our own sake. We are, we're not given salvation just for ourselves, but God has called us into service to be a blessing to others. We're hosting Pollock, who's from India. She's Hindu, but there are Christians in India. One of the oldest Christian communities are the Martoma. Martoma simply means St. Thomas. And it's based on their tradition that some of them believe Thomas himself made it all the way to the west coast of India, which is where their community is located. More likely, Thomas probably went into Syria, started a church that eventually got down there, but we don't know. But they call themselves Martoma Christians, and they have a symbol that I really like. Their symbol for their church is got the motto, lighted to lighten. We're not lit for ourselves. We don't receive salvation just to say, oh, that's it. But we're called into service. And everything we receive is to go out to others. And that's what they're describing with that statement on their shield, lighted to lighten. And so when we receive love, we're to embody love. When we receive peace, we're to promote peace. When we receive kindness, we're to show kindness. When we receive justice, we're to enact justice. When we receive forgiveness, we're to practice forgiveness with others. We're to lead others toward our Father, toward our Lord Jesus Christ. It talks about that this light, you don't put it under the bowl, but you put it on its stand so that everyone in the house can use it. Put it in a responsible location. This was a reference to, in most homes, there was a place you could put the light and it would maximize that light flow so that it could reach all parts of the house. Thinking about the moon, there's two ways that we can talk about this idea of hiding the light. One of those ways is, you can't even see it, I don't think. There's actually a new moon in that picture. If you look at the bottom, for you, the bottom right, you can barely see the hint of a crescent. And that's just it. A new moon you can't see. It is still shining just as much as when it's a full moon. But as that diagram shows you, the new moon is between the sun and the earth. And so everything it's reflecting is reflecting back toward the sun, not toward the earth. There was a group at the time of Jesus known as the Essenes. They called themselves the children of the light. We found, you may have heard of the Dead Sea Scrolls. We found these documents. We think that this is part of the Essene community. These documents, they lived out in the desert near the Dead Sea. They didn't want to live in Jerusalem. They didn't want to interact with other Jews, because they were maintaining their purity. They believed that the temple was corrupt, that the Jews were corrupt, and they were waiting for Messiah to come. And they were going to be pure for when He came. They followed the law meticulously. They lived very righteous lives, but nobody saw them. Their lives were wasted. They're not mentioned once in the New Testament. Sadducees, Pharisees, Zealots, they're all mentioned, but that fourth group, the Essenes, not once. So we want to make sure we don't turn into a new moon. We don't want to receive from Christ and yet nobody see it in the world. And the other danger, we don't want to get caught in a lunar eclipse. If you ever been out during the lunar eclipse, it's pretty. I mean, the moon kind of turns dark red, kind of turns to blood. Here's a photo of an example of a lunar eclipse. The eclipse happens whenever the moon moves behind the earth so that the shadow of the earth goes across it. And it's no longer reflecting the sun at that point. We can become too much like the world. We can choose to move into the earth's shadow, become just like everybody else, not have any distinctives. And it's just like lighting your light and hiding it under a bushel, or worse. So we need to make sure we don't get caught in the lunar eclipse. Are there areas in your life that maybe you, as you examine yourself, you think, gosh, I'm just like everybody else in this area? My son and I have been having some debates about that because of social media and some other stuff. Talking about the influence and is it right and is it Christian the way some people utilize it? Don't get caught in a lunar eclipse. And then the third thing that we find in Jesus' teaching is that you are to bring glory to God. We're to bring glory to God. We're, in the same way that you don't hide a city, or you can't hide a city, in the same way you don't want to hide a lamp, we should shine our light before men and women. We want to shine our light so that people can see Christ. We have a relationship with Christ. We want to radiate it out. Let others see it in our words, in our actions. The Greek word that we translate as good deeds, when it talks about in the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds. The word is actually beautiful. So not just good deeds, but beautiful deeds, attractive deeds, deeds that will make them want to find out more about Jesus, find out more about Christ, because they see something different in your life. But we need to make sure that people understand that it's God who's at work in our lives, communicating that. Otherwise, we could become like, we could create a solar eclipse. Now, I already had the sermon ready, and yesterday I saw in the evening, which was this morning on the other side of the world, I have a friend in Bethlehem, Palestine, that posted something about that there was a solar eclipse today. And I looked it up, and it was starting around part of India, and it was traveling through the Middle East and ending somewhere in Africa today. And it was a big deal because today's also the longest day of the year. This is the summer solstice, so that doesn't happen very often, that we actually have a solar eclipse start at the same time. But a solar eclipse, what it does is, as you can see in that diagram, the moon moves between the sun and the earth, and so its shadow hits the earth so that you can't see the sun anymore. You can see that halo effect, but you can't see the sun itself. It is something spectacular to look at. You may remember a couple of years ago, there was one that we had a partial here, and a lot of people at Wayland, we were all standing outside for an hour with these different dark glasses and things looking at it. But we had to use those dark glasses because it may be spectacular to look at, but it is fatal. It can destroy your eyesight. And in the same way, if we live our life the way we're supposed to with Christ, but we never tell people that it's Christ at work in us, they may become blind to the fact that they need Christ. They may see you living your life and say, well, they can do it. I've got to figure out a way to just buck it up and live better. We need to make sure that we're bringing glory to God. The moon's taking all the glory in a solar eclipse. It's blocking out everything. And we need to make sure that we don't do that. Y'all had no idea when you came today that you'd have a science lesson. You thought you were coming for church. It's what happens when you go to prom, I guess. You start talking to the wrong people. I don't know. But seriously, as we conclude, we're called to be a full moon to a dark world. We don't want to be a new moon, hiding the light by removing it, living the way we should in our prayer closets, coming to church, but not really ever taking it beyond private devotion, going out in the community with it. We don't want to be a lunar eclipse. We don't want to hide the light by dimming the light, becoming too much like the world, engaging in sin. We don't want to be a solar eclipse. We don't want to hide the light by blocking the light, letting our good deeds be seen in the public, but never saying that it's because of Christ in us, because of the love of God, that we're able to do the things we get to. So as we go and we minister in Jesus' name, let's make sure that we live what we say we believe, that we testify to the source of our actions, so that others may be led to the Father who lights us through Jesus Christ, our Lord. This is what will bring glory to the Father. And so, as we leave today, remember, you must be the full moon to a dark world until the world turns so the sun rises, that they might find glory in the full light of day flooding over each and every person you encounter. Let's pray. Father, we want to come to you, Lord, in the next few minutes. Lord, we just pray that you would help us to think about how we reflect you to the world. God, you've called us to be light. Help us to not hide the light, but to let it shine through us, and help us to give testimony to the source, to your Son, Jesus, our Lord. In the next few minutes, I just pray that as we reflect on your faithfulness, Lord, that you would help us to be your witnesses in our community. It's in Jesus' name we pray.